Oh, hello. Today we wax philosophical about the Natty Bowman, discuss medical malpractice in Peru, and wrestle with the question, what the hell are clappas?
I'm Justin Eisenstadt, and you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
Hello, I am Justin Eisenstadt, and this is Boldly Going Nowhere. Today is Sunday, February 7th, 2010, and we are recording here in my private studio, as always. I'm joined by the lovely Lena Salins.
Hello.
The bearded Gary Thompson.
Hi there.
And Tim, are you officially joining us, or are you just sitting here?
I'm in.
You're in?
I'm in.
All right, we'll speak up then so they can hear you.
Hi.
All right, so I'm pretty excited about this because this will be the first time that Gary will be here to record an episode with me.
Thanks for having me on the show, Justin.
I'm just really excited to talk to you here. I'm really glad because you weren't around all last semester. You kind of missed out on this whole, radio shenanigans that we've been getting up to, so.
Yeah, the technology just seemed to pass me by, or maybe we passed the technology by, I don't know.
Maybe. So why don't you tell everyone what you've been up to, just a brief little, tell us about yourself, and where you were last semester.
Well, last semester I was studying abroad in Chile, and spent some time in Peru as well. It was pretty ridiculous. I got lots of wild adventures, ranging from the mildly obscene to the completely redonkulous.
Awesome. Those are exactly the kind of stories that we want. Let's save those, because I want to come back to your experiences. A little later in the show, we're going to devote some time to give you the... you can step up on the soapbox and talk to us about your trip. First, though, there's something we need to address. It's a question of a somewhat philosophical nature, and I think actually I will let you introduce it, Gary, since you, I believe, were the one who brought this issue out into the open.
Yes, this is a really, really important issue, and it's really close to my heart. The question is, can the Natty Bowman wink?
So let's clarify here. Natty Bow, for those of you who are not local to this area, we're talking about National Bohemian Beer.
That's right.
Which is a brew local to Baltimore. And
seriously, no one outside of Baltimore has ever heard of it.
That's not true.
A lot of people were drinking it.
Really? Yeah. They were drinking Natty Bow in Vegas?
Somebody had a six-pack of Natty Bow in Vegas.
I'm not even sure if I knew about Natty Bow before I came to the school, and I only live 30 minutes away.
Well, you're obviously
outside
not,
of Baltimore.
You're obviously not so cultured out there.
We are,
it
yeah.
It's Frederick.
It's Frederick. You know, it's highly dense population of Philistines out there in Frederick. But, I don't know, we only drink cultured beers like Miller Lite and
Budweiser.
Right. Well, getting back to the topic at hand, see, the Natty Bowman, the logo, it's a guy with only one eye. But it's not like a cyclops. There's space for two eyes if he wanted to have two eyes, but he only has one.
Now, I believe some people are under the impression that it's the Natty Bowman at profile. Therefore, he has an eye, we just cannot see it.
But it's a complete circle. His face is a full circle.
Do we have a can of Natty Bow in here we can reference?
I believe they all were dismissed last night.
Oh.
Ooh.
There's probably one sitting in the... Tim, you want to go root through the garbage for us?
Yes!
Well, I've never seen someone so excited to go dumpster diving. All right, so Tim will be back momentarily. He's bringing us a can of Natty Bo. But while we're on the subject, well, actually, that was pretty quick. I didn't even need to fill time there. So, okay, let's... Well, I can still smell it. The aroma. Oh, by the way, why don't you tell us, Lena, what the tagline, the slogan for Natty Bo beer is?
Natty Bo is always a good catch.
What? Where does it say that? Where the hell does it say that?
Here on the internet. No, Natty Bo is from the land of pleasant living.
I'm like, I set you up, I gave you a simple task, and you totally flubbed it.
I purposely did that.
You flubbed it, alright? Now, yeah, maybe you say that, but, so, okay, here's the little, yeah, no, this is not in profile, because it's full, it's like a full frontal shot. So what we're doing is we're comparing the Natty Bo Man, who's got just one eye and then just a blank space next to it, and he's got a big, big-ass handlebar mustache, which, if you see
I mean,
it,
it's a pretty impressive mustache.
That thing is thick and full and vibrant.
I'm personally very impressed with his mustache.
What's incredible is that the similarities to the Pringles Man,
It's uncanny.
Really uncanny, except that the Pringles Man has two little beady eyes.
And a bow tie.
And a bow tie.
And the Pringles Man originates from England.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why they're called potato crisps. See?
Oh, wow, it does say that. I never noticed that before.
Huh. Yep. It says crisps instead of chips, because chips are fries.
Right. Nice.
Huh.
Miscultured. You know... Oh, are you reading the... What are you looking at?
No, the back of this Pringles can is some Hebrew, which is exciting. And it also says that Pringles are distributed in Cincinnati, Ohio, USA, product of USA. I'm just confused at this point.
Let's go back to talking about the question at hand.
We can't even... Yeah, let's not worry too much about the Pringles
let's
Man.
Let's go back to the question.
Back to the can the one-eyed Natty Bo Man wink? So, see, my thought is he only has one eye. So, a wink and a blink, they both, you know, it's going to look the same.
Right. There's no difference. It's just a blink.
Now, with a man with two eyes, a wink is when he closes just one eye, and a blink is when both eyes close and open.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Very good. All right.
Just have to
okay.
define. We have
you
to
have
define
learned
that.
Learned well.
Right. So I think really though the difference is in the intention, because a wink, you know, that is a action with intention.
Okay. Yeah. The wink is you know, and is active. A blink is a passive. Sort of thing.
And also, I notice when I blink, you know, winking is sort of squeezing the eye closed, but blinking is just letting it...
It's just the natural function of your eyes.
Just naturally go up and down. So I'm pretty sure, like, he's still going to be adjusting his eyelid muscle control as he's trying to wink. That's going to be different than if he were just blinking.
Yeah, well, I imagine a man with only one eyeball would probably have pretty good eye muscle control.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I hope.
Well, I would even go so far as to say it's probably twice as good as a man with two eyes.
Okay, I'll follow you on that. I'll follow you on that. So, let's say you said something about intention. A wink sort of carries a you know, perhaps a enticing or seductive you know, quality to it, similar to how you are winking at me right now.
Actually, I'm just trying to communicate you with Morse code in my wink.
Awesome. This is great radio right here.
Well, I know, but...
No, but I understand. I understand you want to bang me.
I mean, you
and
know.
These are the codes. These are the social indicators that we have been culturally inculcated to understand.
So you're saying
that when Gary winks at me, I know that he just wants to get all up on this.
So you're saying that one-eyed people are incapable of displaying
of seducing each other?
Yeah.
Well, no, they just
seducing each other via wings.
Well, could they have to rely on other signals.
Perhaps words.
Perhaps words. Perhaps touch. Perhaps gestures, you know.
The Natty Bowman is just a face.
Maybe a subtle licking of the lips or raising of the eyebrow. Well, which the Natty Bowman can also not do because he does not have eyebrows.
He has no eyebrows.
I don't even know if he has a nose unless it's just covered by the mustache.
I don't believe he has a nose, so he can't... I don't think that... Are there any seductive signals you can do with your nose?
I don't think so. Seductive, no. I mean, you can make little rabbit faces.
That's why noses are completely useless.
Well, they have their...
They're very good at being blown.
They hold our glasses on.
Yeah.
I'd just like to point out everyone talking around this microphone right now is wearing glasses.
It's a good thing Tim's not here.
That's true. So I think all of us can at least attest to the usefulness of noses.
Yeah.
I like how that thing you sent me on StumbleUpon. Do you want to explain that?
I found a great site on Stumble called Celebrities with No Eyebrows or Noses. And it's a collection of photoshopped pictures of celebrities with no eyebrows or noses.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I can say that Mick Jagger was definitely the best, because without a nose, it appears that his wrinkles will just kind of, like, collapse in on each other. I think the only thing separating his face wrinkles from kind of, like, imploding, like, you know, like a dying star, is the nose.
Dying star. That's good one.
Unintentional.
Yeah, I heard Michael Jackson was the inspiration for this whole project.
Really? You were familiar with this project?
I'm everywhere.
That's true. You are everywhere. It's a little creepy. But, so I was saying that in a couple of the pictures, for example, there's one of Johnny Depp and his glasses are held on with a Band-Aid. And then there's one of Elton John, and his glasses are, like, strung on to, like, a nail in the middle of his forehead, but it's a really fabulous nail.
That would still be uncomfortable.
Yes. That's why I'm glad I'm not Elton John, for that and other reasons.
Yeah, I'm also glad I have a nose, and, you know.
I'm glad I have a nose. Not as glad that I'm not a filthy rich pop star.
Right, you know, like, if I had to choose between having a nose and being Elton John.
That's true.
Actually,
I think that's another philosophical question.
That's a
question.
Pretty tough question.
I think this is a...
If you were Elton John, you'd have a nose.
No, I'm saying Elton John without a nose, or me with a nose.
All right, yeah, let's play Would You Rather. Would you rather have a nose, or would you rather be Elton John?
Be Elton John.
Without a nose.
Be Elton John without a nose.
If I had my druthers, I'd rather be Elton John without nose, because I'd still be a badass.
Yeah, and I think if you're Elton John, you're wealthy enough that you can just afford a prosthetic nose.
That's true.
Much nicer than...
Would a prosthetic nose be able to smell?
Does not having a nose mean that you can't smell?
Or is the nose just like the funnel to filter everything into the smelling factory inside your face?
I think... Scent... I don't really know how.
I don't know. I know people
works because I think a lot of it takes place in your brain.
Right.
What called Dr. Scheinbold?
You still need
please
to.
Please do
the olfactory receptors.
Speakerphone.
The olfactory receptors, I think, are further back in your in your sinus cavity, beyond the actual nose itself.
I don't think you necessarily need the nose to smell. The nose does have other uses. I mean, the mucus and the membranes help. You know, it's a defense against. It's a filter. It's a defense against disease and stuff.
So Elton John could potentially, like, just buy himself a sparkly red...
He could have a glitter nose.
A glitter nose, yeah.
Glitter nose.
Something all bedecked and bedazzled with sequins. Some glitter.
Perhaps some bling, if you will.
He could have the most blinged out prosthetic nose. Or whatever that is that Tim's holding up. These are all fine questions, I think. I don't know if we've really reached the heart of the matter, which is that whether a cyclopean creature can wink. I'm going to refer to the Natty Bowman as a cyclopean creature.
Right.
Now, the Natty Bow sign on the outside of the factory opens and shuts. The eye will open and shut throughout the day, so...
Is that true?
That's how the question was raised.
Oh...
So that's good to know.
When he's opening and closing his eye, is it just that, or is it a wink?
I really stand by
final
the
answer.
I stand by the conviction that if it's just opening and closing like in a standard way, that's a blink.
Yeah.
It's if it's being squeezed closed, that's a wink.
Right. So we can only judge it by measuring the intention behind it.
And you can look at that shit-eating grin on his face and know he's winking.
But
he's a winker.
His eyes open.
His
eyes open. He's not blinking nor winking.
If he were to close that eye, he would be a winker.
If he were to close that eye, he would just be a blank face.
Well, you don't think he has
with the shit-eating grin on him.
Wait, hang on. What if the other eye is closed and it's just a white eyelid?
There should still be a line, though.
Not necessarily.
What if this? Okay, how about this? What if his other eye is on his hand, kind of like the monster in Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, you know, where he holds the hands up to
It's the guy that you never say, you don't see with your hands.
Yeah, you see with your eyes, not with your hands. Oh, yeah?
No, I think, though, I'm really thinking the Natty Bowman might actually be winking right now, and you just really can't tell. He actually has two eyes, but he's just winking, and they don't draw a line because he's got perfectly white eyelids.
So here's the real question, then. Does the Natty Bowman want to bang me? On that note, let's give the official high five to end this intro. All right, now let's move on to the first segment of today's show, and that would be Fun Fact.
Fun Fact!
All right, today's fun fact is this. Famed frontiersman Daniel Boone never wore a coonskin cap. He did, however, suffer from a medical condition that caused his breasts to lactate.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That's it, man.
Wow.
I don't really know how those two facts are related. I mean,
I'm not sure about that either, but wow.
Does that make him less of a man now in your eyes?
I'm pretty sure it does, and I don't know if I can regard him as my true hero at this point.
Yeah, that does present a bit of an issue.
Now, what's worse? What makes him less manly? The fact that he didn't wear a coonskin cap or that he lactates?
I'm pretty sure it's the lack of coonskin hat.
Yes, yeah, the coonskin cap.
I mean,
it's a medical condition.
Right.
It can happen to anyone, Tim.
Yeah,
I saw you that one time.
Yeah, but now I need a new hero. Like, this is real disappointing.
I mean, I'm here for you.
I mean, you're here for me, but you're not hero.
Ick.
Well, what about...
Let's see. Hulk Hogan?
Ooh, he could work.
You're looking for someone really manly.
Someone really tough,
he's
manly.
I want all manly, but wait.
But then again, Hulk Hogan was in the movie Mr. Nanny.
Ooh, so, I don't know about that.
That's no dice. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He was in Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't work.
But he was in Terminator.
True.
What about David Bowie?
I mean, David Bowie can be partly man, but...
Partly man?
I mean,
you don't know what the other part is.
This is true.
The other part's under pressure, so we're not really
sure. That's great. It's going to be a diamond soon.
Okay, no, I think I know who it's got to be.
Tim, it's the terror of knowing what this world is about.
It's got to be Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman.
That is just pure unadulterated man right there.
He is 100% man.
All right.
Well, actually, he might be more than man. We're not sure.
He's part God.
Yeah.
He may be more than meets the eye.
That's true, but I think he'll have to do.
All right, then. We found Gary a new hero.
Until we find out that he, too, doesn't wear a coonskin cap.
That's true, but he's God. He could create one.
Yes.
Just out of pure ether.
Know that Morgan Freeman was dating like a 26-year-old who was actually his step-niece?
That's pretty badass.
Wow.
See, no one heard this news story because it literally came out the day after Michael Jackson died and nobody cared. And Morgan Freeman just flew under the radar. He was 62, she was 26, and technically related to him.
Yeah, but did you also know that Nelson Mandela said many years ago, if there's ever a movie with him in it, he wanted Morgan Freeman to play him. And he did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Much.
Well, we've got Gary, a new
Nelson
hero.
Nelson Mandela does have man in his name.
Maybe he should be your hero.
I don't know.
Nah, because Morgan Freeman can play him just
as
easily.
He's too political.
You don't even need Nelson Mandela because you've already got Morgan Freeman.
There we go.
So, all right, Morgan Freeman is Gary's new hero, and we just learned a startling thing about Daniel Boone, and that is today's fun fact.
Fun fact!
All right, well, that was some high-quality edutainment, I'll say. Wouldn't you say, Gary?
I don't know.
Just say it, damn it.
All right, yes.
That brings us on to the next segment, which is, of course, ridiculous news items of the day.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
All right, so we got a couple news items for you today, all of which are delightful. And let's start with this one. As is my tradition, I'd like to have the guests introduce the news items to you. So, Lena, why don't you do the first one?
All right. PETA proposes a robotic groundhog for a festival. I'm a vegetarian, and I often will check PETA's website, and I just think it's hilarious when they do stuff like this.
Let me ask you this. Does PETA make you embarrassed to be a vegetarian?
I think any extremist group is embarrassing to the members of that group.
Yeah, because most people are neither one extreme or the other. Most people fall in the middle, so.
I have to say, sometimes I just like to laugh at what PETA does. The head of PETA right now released a list of things, a will, basically, of what she wants people to do with her body once she dies.
Well, this has got to be interesting.
And it's basically, like, she wants her feet to be sold as, like, umbrella stands because elephants' feet are turning to that. She wants her feet. Both of them.
Okay. Both feet.
Yes.
That's a feat.
Keep going.
That's a feat in and of itself.
And she
wants...
Do you have a rimshot sound effect there?
No, I don't.
You should get one.
Okay, keep going.
She wants, like, her skin turned into leather and turned into leather products and etc. And it's actually a very interesting article to read, but it is a little scary at the same time.
That is just deranged.
I mean, I would say that this is a more reasonable request, I think, than when PETA was doing their sea kitten thing.
Sea
kittens?
Sea kittens were just straight up goofy.
That was for fishing. They didn't want people to fish. So they were trying to get fish to be called sea kittens or some such nonsense.
I love you, PETA. I actually in full support of this.
Yeah, a robotic groundhog would work better because I believe, like, the last 10 freaking years, Punxsutawney Phil has gotten scared and ran away, and then we have 6 more weeks of winter, and it's because there's, like, 100, you know, news cameras, like, in his face.
Yeah, I mean, like, do robots have shadows?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think they have reflections, too.
Just making sure.
Now, however, if it was a robotic groundhog, someone could program it to, you know, do what the reaction that they want the groundhog to have.
And then Punxsutawney Phil will take over the world.
Throwers.
Wait, is this PETA doing something?
Tim, PETA says that it's unfair to keep Punxsutawney Phil in captivity and subject him to huge crowds and bright lights that accompany tens of thousands of revelers each year in Punxsutawney. So PETA is suggesting the use of an animatronic model, to which William Dealey, president of the inner circle of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, responds with possibly the best quote ever, that the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, is being treated better than the average child in Pennsylvania.
It's true.
I mean,
he is a very luxurious groundhog.
But that's not saying much. This is Pennsylvania we're talking about.
Now,
that's
a little known fact that no one wants to admit is that there's actually, like, 5 different Punxsutawney Phils.
Yeah, and Punxsutawney Phil, yeah, this isn't the same one they started with.
Yeah, like they've kept him around for 320
this
years.
Isn't the one in the Bill Murray movie either.
Oh, but now that is a good movie right there. That is excellent movie.
Caddyshack's the shit.
One. What? That's a groundhog.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're not talking about that groundhog. We're talking about Punxsutawney Phil.
Right.
Groundhog Day. That's, you know, that's why we're talking about groundhogs.
It's true, though, that there is a groundhog in Caddyshack.
There is a groundhog in Caddyshack.
Yeah, Bill Murray's character is trying to kill the whole movie, so yeah, good.
So, right now, so if they were trying to capture and kill the Punxsutawney groundhog, then I would be in favor of replacing it with a robotic groundhog.
Okay.
As it is, they're just treating him as a holy and divine figure and predictor, forecaster of weather.
Which he is, of course.
And also, we just don't need to put tax dollars into a robotic fucking groundhog.
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to say that on air, are you?
What?
Robotic?
What, robotic?
No, I don't know. Anyway.
Tax dollars?
Yeah, well,
yeah, let's not talk politics here.
Yeah, no politics.
Alright, in that case, let's move on to the next news item. Gary, why don't you introduce this one?
Well, doctors amputate wrong foot of man in Peru. Man, there was a... doctors in Peru mistakenly amputated the wrong foot of an 86-year-old man, then had no choice but to cut off the other one as well to keep the infection from spreading. And then it was a terrible shock when I lifted up the sheets and saw they'd amputated his left foot, presumably because he was supposed to have his right foot amputated.
I can pretty much guarantee that the doctor doing this operation was Dr. Nick from The Simpsons.
Yeah, or just the fact it was Peru and they probably don't care very much.
Well, they didn't learn, right from left down there. On the southern hemisphere, it's backwards.
Oh, right,
right,
yeah.
Right, yeah, because you know the water swirls the other way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tim, why don't you read the third one for us here?
McNugget shortage sparks drive-through violence. police say a woman punched through a McDonald's drive-thru window because her Chicken McNuggets weren't available. Wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication right there.
Wow. I mean, it's fresh white meat goodness.
Now with real meat?
Yeah, I guess.
Have you ever had, like... What?
Beg pardon?
Who was that?
That's my phone. Wanted me to
say. Those
are
the chicken nuggets coming back for us.
Why does your phone want us to say, like, any command?
Well, it just said say a command. It was when I pushed one of these buttons. I don't know which one.
My phone does that to me all the
time. I think it's this one. Is it gonna...
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, let me try it.
Oh, nope. No, it's trying to do something else.
So, have you ever had a similar reaction at a drive-thru?
I almost got arrested in a drive-thru one time because it was, like, back in high school, it was maybe 10:30 at night, and, they had just closed the opening, the inside and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Matt, my friend Matt and I, we were in there, and there were like five of us. So we were like, "Oh, I have an idea. Let's stand in like car formation, like two in the front, three in the back, and walk through the drive-thru." And the guy,
did you make car noises as you walked?
Yeah, we did. We were like, and I pretend to roll down the window, and then like they called the police on us. They thought we were drunk or something. I don't know. Or, maybe it's against the rules to pretend to be in a car in case.
Oddly specific.
But this is when I worked at 7-Eleven and knew the entire police force in Catonsville. Luckily, so the policeman pulls up and he's like, "What are you guys doing up here?" I was like, "Trying to get some food." He's like, "All right." So I mean, it didn't work, and they wouldn't give us food though. They like kicked us off.
Why didn't you have the cop drive through for you? Take your order and go through.
Yeah, why did you get in the back of the cop car and then?
I have a. I'm allergic to the back seat.
How'd you guys get to the McDonald's?
We walked.
Okay.
It's Kate.
Making car noises the whole way.
But I was thinking though of another time when, remember when we were trying to get those Frosties?
Yes.
Yeah, we came up to the Wendy's drive-thru, and they were, well, we came to one, and it was already closed. We came to another, it was like, 12:56 or something, and they closed at one, and they turned off the lights.
It was like 12:50, whenever
it was.
Up, and they turned off the lights on us. So
really?
God damn it!
As we were pulling up, they turned off the lights, and it was just, God.
We should have punched through that.
We really should have.
But then,
no Frosties.
Like Melody Duchesne, we would have been released.
Melody?
Melody? He's something like melodious.
I can't read.
I mean, to be fair, it is spelled with an I.
Yeah, it is spelled stupidly.
Yeah, but then we'd have been ordered to not have contact with the restaurant.
This is true. And it was okay, because in that situation, we just, we found a blender and just made our own.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I bet.
All things.
I bet Melody couldn't have made her own chicken McNuggets.
She does not look like the sort who would be capable of making her own chicken nuggets.
No, that's not the picture of her. That's the porno ad. That's the porno advertisement on the side.
That's Snorg. Okay. No, that's the Snorg Tease ad.
Snorg Tease girl really let herself go. All right. Well, that was pretty great. So that's the current events, and let's.
So nugget shortages and left feet being mistaken for right feet. What a way to live.
What a wacky and hilarious misunderstanding.
On that note, let's take a break. Play a little bit of music for you.
Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue. Like him, inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around. Cause he ain't got nobody to listen. I'm blue, da ba dee da ba die, 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 da ba dee da ba die. I'm blue, da ba dee da ba die, 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 da ba dee da ba die.
We're back. That was Blue by Eiffel 65, which had nothing to do with anything we were talking about, but the general consensus was...
Well, my phone's blue.
Classic 98
Euro pop. There we go. These spoons are blue.
Thought D da ba die.
Your mouse pad's blue. Your mouse is blue.
Your balls are blue.
Oh! See, you need...
This is Masha! Get out!
You need that rim shot.
Um... there was such a clamor that I play that song that I had to put it in there and, you know, go against my tradition of playing songs that have some relation to what we were talking about. But speaking of things we were talking about, we mentioned
Tim's dying on
I know,
soup.
That was possible. That was probably choking
on soup. And why are you eating soup with a fork?
That was possibly the worst transition ever done on radio. Speaking of things we mentioned.
Go on.
So we mentioned a story about Peru. God damn it, Tim, if that slurping gets picked up on this microphone. That's an empty threat. That's an empty threat. I don't know.
We'll edit it out.
I'll edit it out. So, Gary.
All right.
You went on an adventure.
Yes, it was one long adventure, starting from Peru, ending up in Chile, and with bits of Argentina thrown in the mix.
Interesting.
I'll first like to say, sort of an extension on the news stories thing, I don't have an actual story about it, but over the last couple of weeks, there have been literally hundreds and upon hundreds of tourists trapped at Machu Picchu due to mudslides.
Really?
The only way to get to Machu Picchu is a rail line, and it has been washed out, so they've been having to helicopter people out.
Damn.
And it's been like a couple of weeks, and they're still trying to get people out.
Wow.
I
feel bad for anybody who's injured there.
I don't think it's in, like there weren't mudslides like onto the people. It was just along the train tracks.
Did anybody try like surfing on the mudslide? Like,
I don't know.
Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee probably did. But I mean, that'd be pretty awesome.
Dude, Kurt Russell surfed on a tidal wave down Sunset Boulevard with a broken leg, and then hopped into a speeding convertible in Escape from L.A.
Oh, I thought this actually happened.
That movie was a documentary.
I was really getting my hopes up.
Yeah, I just asked for the YouTube
clip. I think Kurt Russell's my hero.
That is, that's pretty good. I don't think Morgan Freeman could do that.
Is he the master to your commander?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man.
That's a thing, right? So, did you, you didn't, all right, you were in Peru, you started in Peru, right?
Right.
Summer, did you have any run-ins with severe medical incompetence?
Severe medical incompetence, no, but I ran into people who had some severe incontinence.
Oh?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
It's a great way to start a story.
Actually, that's really not as interesting. I think, Peru, you got the high altitude.
You saw some people, they crapped their pants, let's move on.
Right, you know, like...
Wait, does high altitude cause incontinence?
No, high altitude causes dysentery.
Oh.
Well...
It's close to the same.
Yeah. Although, a friend of mine did get typhoid.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that still happens.
It does in Peru, I guess.
And the Oregon Trail.
And, yes.
Well, also, dysentery was a big killer, and...
Yeah.
All my guys got dysentery.
Every time.
I didn't realize that you could actually win the game. I thought it was survive as long as you can before you get dysentery.
No, but, like,
Oregon Trail, it's a race against dysentery.
It's like the really bad version of the Magic Snitch, or the Golden Snitch. Once you get it, you die, and the game's over.
Okay.
I don't see how that's like the Golden Snitch
well,
at
once
all.
Once you catch the snitch, the game's over, but it's a good thing.
So once you catch dysentery...
you could.
It's the brown snitch.
No,
okay. Your analogy skills could use a little bit of practice.
But I'm pretty sure at least one time I caught dysentery and survived.
Did you catch the Golden Snitch?
I did shoot a lot of buffalo.
Really?
Actually, it would be bison.
Yeah, but then you can only bring home, like, 100 pounds of the meat.
Yeah, I know.
I never got that. Like, you could, like, you killed a buffalo. It weighs, like, 1,400 pounds. You can only bring home 100 of it. Like, that's the most wasteful... That's how we almost kill off the buffalo. Like, if that's how hunters actually were, like, crossing the prairie, like, shoot a buffalo, take its leg and just leave the rest of it.
Although I do have to point out, there's no such thing as buffalo out there. It's American bison. Buffalo or Africa?
You know what? I let you on my show out of the goodness of my heart.
Hey, I'm just making sure all those people out there in Radio Land are not severely misinformed.
Wait, so what about
this isn't on the radio.
What
so
about Northwestern?
Jokes on you.
What about Northwestern New York? What about the buffalo there?
That's true.
And
that's not African.
Can buffalo, buffalo, buffalo?
No, buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Buffalo, buffalo, buffalo.
No, it's buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Dude, I already know this.
Is it seven or eight?
I think it's seven. Buffalo, 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 buffalo. It's seven.
It is seven. That's what I... Yeah.
You can quote me on that.
It's seven. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's a legitimate sentence.
That is an actual complete sentence.
With nouns and verbs.
You can parse that on your own time.
Okay.
Right now, Gary's telling a story.
Oh, story. Entirely unrelated to buffalo or bison. Yeah. Oh, so she, yeah, actually, she got dysentery and, or
jeez.
Not dysentery, sorry, typhoid, which I suppose is just about as bad.
Here's my question. How does having dysentery impact your ability to catch the golden snitch?
Well, I mean, as long as you can stay... you know, attentive, it could be beneficial because everybody would be staying away from you and not want to be in your tailwind.
All right, you're the expert.
You know what? I think catching the golden snitch is going to be part of Apocalypse Trail, our new game.
Okay. Oh, right. Apocalypse Trail, which is our version of Oregon Trail, which takes place after the nuclear apocalypse, where you're trying to get to a Twinkie factory on the other coast.
And you've got to defeat the...
And for some reason...
The cockroaches.
Yeah, you got to fight giant cockroaches and for some reason play Quidditch.
Justin and I had this idea over the summer, only to find out that Fall Out Boy had done this first.
I hate Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy just broke up.
Yes! Sorry, that was kind of...
But anyway...
I mean, that's too bad. That's terrible.
Oh, man. But let's see. So what else have I got in the way of stories? Well, one that springs to mind is... happened later on. It was when I was in Argentina. I just went... You know, because when you're studying abroad, you don't really care much about your education. You just travel and you pop off to another country for a weekend.
Right.
So, you know, that's just how you roll. So I went to Argentina with a couple friends... And in this, we're in the city of Mendoza. It's about 8 hours from Santiago. And so we were there, and the big thing to do there is to go on winery tours.
Really?
It's winery tours, but you get like you rent a bike, and you bike between the wineries. Now, I mean, yeah.
That's so cool.
It's cool, and it's about as bad of an idea as it seems. Oh, actually, I got the kind...
Wait, because you get progressively drunker as
right.
you're riding
and then,
your bike.
I love biking.
And
I love alcohol.
Exactly. And you're just, like, totally plastered by the end of it, and then you have to make your way all the way back to town.
Dude, imagine if everyone was riding, like, a big tandem bike.
Well, they...
Like that scene in Beer Fest.
But they've got, like, a huge police force there, which are just there, and it's not to stop the people from biking drunk, it's just to, like, make sure the cars don't hit them or anything.
Oh, right.
Like, because it was real, it's sort of freaking us out the first time, because we're just going along, you know, just a little bit wobbly, and, like, this cop comes up behind us, and instead of going around us, and it just stays behind us, and it's just, like, creeping along behind us.
Oh, my God, I hate when cars, like, drive right behind you when
so,
you're biking.
So then we like
so
okay.
Annoying.
So then there was like something we went off to the side and the car sort of went on a little bit, the cop car, and then it pulled over and stopped, and then we kept going.
Were you getting nervous?
Like
about this?
I was getting a bit nervous. I'm like, what the hell is this? But eventually, it was on a motorcycle. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
But either way, there were also cars doing the same thing. But eventually, we talked to him and he's like, yeah. The rule is there, it's not actually illegal to ride drunk, but if you get involved in an accident, you could be at fault.
Huh.
So it's only illegal if you get
in
hurt.
An accident.
If you get in an accident.
It's only illegal if you get hurt.
Right.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's fine, because...
That's fair.
That's, you know, that's fair
makes
enough.
Sense.
So it's like, if you're fine, if you do it and you're fine, all right... And if you do it and you're not fine, you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Okay, so you're only being punished for your own incompetence.
Right.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I think if the justice system worked out
yeah.
well.
I mean,
anywhere
it,
else.
I mean, the only problem with that is that you're already sort of being punished by being hurt and or run over by a car.
And
that
drunk.
No, the drunk's
the
not really a punishment. Yeah.
Right, that's helping take the edge off.
But anyway, so we've gotten back from this this tour, and we were... at the place where we went to the rented the bike. So I was there with four friends, and we met about another half a dozen or so people who were also there. And they provided us with pretty much all you can drink wine. So come about, I don't know, 9 o'clock, we were completely belligerently drunk, and they were closing up, and it was time to go. So we get onto a city bus. It's basically like we get our way back to the main town is on a city bus.
Okay.
So
here's my one question about the winery part, though. Since you said they gave you all you can drink wine,
oh.
Was there even a pretense of it being like a fancy tasting thing? Like, did they actually hand you glasses, or did they just hand you an entire bottle of wine
no.
and say go to town?
At the wineries themselves, that was not all you can drink. They gave you like a little sample of stuff.
Okay.
Of like one, each of three different sort of vintages and all that, and that they would point out, oh, you can taste the leather, I don't taste the bloody leather. I taste wine. Like, that's come on now.
Didn't you dip a shoe in your wine?
Yeah, was someone putting their feet in your wine?
I don't know. Like,
did hobbits crush the grapes?
They might have. They might have.
Hobbits wouldn't have
leather
shoes.
It would have been.
No, their feet are leathery.
It would have been. I mean, I think that would have been a very expensive wine if it had been crushed by hobbits.
Yeah, rare, mythical. Maybe that's like the New Zealand wine.
Yeah,
all the grapes are crushed by hobbits.
No, but this all you can drink stuff. This was later on where back where we were returning the bikes. So we get on the city bus, and it's about 12 or so of us, and we're just all terribly, terribly drunk, and I feel real bad for the people who are also on the bus.
And I mean, it's a wine drunk too, so you guys gotta be like trying not to pass out.
Yeah, like so we were like, there was this Irish woman there. She was singing and teaching us Irish lullabies, and then she and
not helping with the whole staying awake thing.
Well, she was also she was singing very loudly and not very well at all.
Oh, okay,
it was pretty bad. And so then she and this other woman get up, and they're going to start dancing in the bus because it's sort of an open center area. And they get up to start dancing, and then the bus had stopped, and it just starts going again. And the two of them, like, they just tip straight over. They just fall flat onto their backs. Like, it's just, I've never really seen someone fall like that before.
Oh,
and then they're just like lying on the bus, and as the bus is going, they're sort of rolling around. And eventually they get up. And keep singing.
Wow! Did they stop singing while they were on the ground?
Yeah. It was one of those very dramatic silences.
Oh man! Everyone just didn't
like
know how to react.
Right. Not only us, but also the annoyed people in the front of the bus.
Was everyone just real hesitant about like even going near them? Like no one offered them any help.
Right. They're just like, well, because remember we're sort of drunk, so not just sort of drunk. And so we're trying to figure out. First of all, we're trying to process what just happened. Like so, you know, we realized, all right. There was just a loud whoomp. Now everything is quiet. But, you know, the thing that, like, falling hurts and that sort of thing, that hadn't really reached, like, we didn't really process that right away.
Okay, go on.
So anyway, we're on the bus. We don't really know where we are or where we're getting off. And eventually, some people on the bus say, all right, you need to get off now because this is the last stop in, like, the downtown part of the city. And we're just like, oh, okay, we'll get off then. We still didn't know where we were, but, you know, we got off anyway. And we'd gone for about a block or so, just walking because it seemed like the right thing to do.
Naturally.
Because when you're already lost, what's wrong with keeping walking?
Right.
And then I turned to my friend to say, hey, man, where's your backpack? And he, like, looks at me.
Uh-oh.
I look at him.
Uh-oh.
And he just like, oh... Oh, that's not good. Turns out he left the backpack on the bus, complete with cameras, wallets, you know, all that good stuff.
You think the Irish woman took it?
I wouldn't put it past her. She was a little bit sketch.
Was she kind of handsy?
She was very handsy in an inappropriate way. Like,
where did point on the doll where the Irish woman touched you?
I mean, you know, like. At
show
least,
us on Mr. Pringle.
Show us on Mr. Pringle.
Well, Mr. Pringle does
did
not...
Did she touch you on the mustache?
Mr. Pringle...
Show us on Cthulhu.
Yeah, Mr. Pringle does not have those appendages. She was touching me right here.
Right on the tentacle?
On the tentacle.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I hate when people touch my face tentacles.
That's the upper dorsimus tentacle.
Yeah, I know, but it's the most sensitive one.
It's the most
upper lateris.
Yeah, it's the most sensitive tentacle of all.
So here we are, drunk, wandering the streets in apparently a shady part of town... and we don't have the backpack. So, in our drunken stupor, we decide that, okay, we'll call the police and maybe they can help us out. So we call the police. And they're like, all right, we'll come there. So a cop car comes up, and there's two police officers. And we sort of start telling them what happened, and they're like, all right, well, let's go back to the station. So there were, there were five of us. So three went in the cop car with one of the cops, and the cop walked with the other two of us to the station, which was literally just, like, two blocks away. And I don't know why it took them that long to get there anyway. So then there we are in the police station, and we're, like, just sitting around, seeing, you know, the segment of the Argentinian population which frequents the police station, you know, getting a good cultural mix.
A good sampling.
Yeah. A sampling of society. And eventually, the guy who left the bag on the bus, he is just, like, he starts going into a fit about how they're not helping us. The police are, they're just, they're the corrupt police.
Oh,
and he starts yelling about the corrupt police while in the police station, and they're right there. And then, like, one of our other friends tries to talk him down, but he's just like, no. And he literally runs out of the police station and just down the street. He's got nothing, no money, no wallet.
No pants.
No belt buckle or money clip.
Coins, keys, wallet, or purse. He doesn't even have a purse. And he just
put his D's on it around the throat.
I mean, he put his D's on it and just took off. And, like, we had no idea what was going on. And I don't think he had a key to the room. I don't think he really knew where the hotel was or where he was. But at that point, there was really not much more we could do about him because he was just gone.
All right, you're just like, all right, guys, he's dead. Let's keep going.
I mean, what are we supposed to do? Like, we don't know where we are, let alone where he was going.
I mean, pirate code, whoever falls behind is left behind.
Exactly. Yeah. So we stick around to the police station for a little while longer.
Guys, he's already a prostitute by now. Let's just keep going.
And eventually, I sort of realized that, because what we really wanted was, we wanted someone to just give us the number of the bus company, so if we could get a hold of, like, the bus driver right away, maybe they'd be able to get the bag. But, you know, eventually.
Any luck with that?
No. So finally, after about an hour, I was like, all right, you know, if we'd gotten it in the first 5 minutes, yeah, we'd have a chance. But after an hour, it's not at all likely. So we just gave up. And
5 minutes alone with those Irish women, you're not the same.
Yeah, exactly. So then we have to figure out how to get back. And so there's a detective there who's in, like, a tuxedo, and he's, so he says he'll take us back in, like, the police van.
Was it Columbo?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. But, so, first of all, we cram, like, four people in the back seat, we can't even get the seat belts on, and four in the back seat, two in the front seat, and the driver, and we're going, and he gets a phone call, and it turns out that he was supposed to be at his best friend's wedding. He was supposed to be the best man at his best friend's wedding right then. And instead, he's driving drunk Americans back to their hostel in the town. And we felt kind of bad about that, but, you know, I was feeling even worse about missing my stuff, because, you know, it's bad that he's missing this stuff, but I'm missing my stuff.
You're the American.
I'm the American. I have rights. I have rights. So, yeah, in the end, he just takes us to our hotel, and, you know, that was sort of it. We never really didn't get our stuff back.
Did you get your friend back?
Oh, yeah. In the morning, we found him, you know. Oh, yes, he was in the hotel. And it turns out that he went all the way back to the winery area just trying to, like, track everything down. So he definitely put all into that he could. And it was pretty impressive that he managed to do that with zero money and no
way. How many dicks did he suck to get there?
Let's see. There was the taxi driver. There was the taxi driver. The bus driver, the guy on the street.
The Irish woman.
So that's at least four.
All right.
So, so that's my experience with the Argentinian police.
Well, I guess I'd ask if you learned your lesson, but somehow I always end up being disappointed when I ask that.
I did learn my lesson about never leave any of your stuff in the responsibility of anyone else. Because the thing that sort of made it worse was
just never trust people in general.
Right. Trust anyone.
Don't trust anyone.
Not even me.
Especially not you. No, but it's like, if it had been my stuff, I would have probably remembered it, or I would have been pissed. It would have been on my own damn fault. But since it was his, you know, since he was the one that left it, he left my stuff. That's just, you know, irritating.
Well, you live,
You learn, then
you forget your lesson.
Then you lose.
Yeah, you learn, you live, you learn, you die.
All right, well, that was a fantastic story, Gary. maybe future episodes you can come on and share more tales.
Tales from the South.
Tales of the South. let's get on with the final and perhaps most important segment of the show, which is, of course, Spectacles of Human Failure.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
All right, so I just need to give a little bit of a disclaimer before this particular installment of Spectacles of Human Failure. I just want to say everything that will be recited here are actual quotes, direct quotes from other people, and the opinions and views expressed in this segment do not reflect those of Boldly Going Nowhere or any of its subsidiaries. With that, Lena, take it away.
All right, I noticed on Facebook the other day that there is a new fan page that a good number of my friends were becoming fans of, and it was called You Know You Go to Blake High School When? And that was my high school that I haven't been to in 2 years. And I started reading, you know, what it's like, how you know you go to Blake High School. And
right.
Things
have changed.
The answers that people had on this page, I don't know if the spelling and grammar was worse or the content of the actual ideas were worse.
So what I take it that today's spectacle of human failure is Blake High School or the people who attend it?
The failure is the people that write on this fan page for my high school. I'd like to think that it's a small percentage of the stupid people.
I'm sure. I mean, you came from Blake High School, and your grammar is impeccable.
As we know.
No, but I mean, it's important in these segments to be as specific as possible with our human failures. So,
The educational thing was, though, that I learned a bunch of new words.
Oh, great. In that case, I see that you've assembled some sort of best of compilation of your favorite quotes from this page.
I did, and I'd like to share some.
All right, go ahead.
You know you go to Blake High School when freshmen get stone cold stunnered.
All right, freshmen get stone cold stunnered.
When they got hand sanitizer station out of nowhere posted everywhere.
Yeah, I know
wait,
that.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Was that a sentence?
When they got hand sanitizer station out of nowhere posted everywhere. That's almost kind of like some sort of
paradoxical.
Yeah, maybe they're actually like trying to make us think. Like, what is the nature of that?
Everywhere.
How can a hand sanitizer station be both nowhere and everywhere?
Oh, I like the next one.
Yeah, the next one is, when you don't have not one innocent girl in sight.
Innocent
you
girls.
Don't have not one.
Not even one.
Not one innocent girl.
Innocent.
I mean, it means innocent. I mean,
yeah, okay, yeah. You know you go to Blake High School when Mr. Hyman is jersub and always got a bottle of Sprite and always falling asleep.
Oh, Mr. Hyman.
I think, like, 1% of the words in this sentence were spelled right.
I'm beginning to believe that Blake High School doesn't even use English. It uses some sort of hybridized form of English.
It's the Blake dialect.
They've got their own unique dialect.
It's very colloquial. You know you go to Blake High School when there are 16 known pregnancies?
I'm pretty sure that says pregnancies.
Pregnancies.
So there have to be 16 people, 16 Nancys who are preg.
At any given time, Nancys.
The fun part was 16 people liked that comment.
Really?
Yeah.
How many of them were named Nancy?
I'll have to check.
You skip one, though.
Oh, when Mr. Heinlein be more smacked than you after you faced, like, 3 J's.
I think that was an important one.
Yeah.
Are we talking, like, face 3 J's like Blue Jays? Because, I mean, they're pretty aggressive about their territory.
I get pretty smacked when I face, like, 3 Blue Jays.
I think it might be about Conan facing Jay Leno.
Oh!
Well,
three of them?
Yeah.
You know, Jay Leno's really a three-headed monster.
Well, it's him, his chin.
And his chin and the hair.
And his hair.
Great, okay.
All right, you know you're going to Blake High School when Miss Gandy talks to herself, grabs your cell fast as shit, and tries to pop her fatty out all class.
What?
Is it Miss Gandy or Miss Gandhi?
I think it's Gandy, but she tries to pop her fatty out all class.
Let's not even talk about that. Let's go on.
All right, I have to put a disclaimer in front of this one. This is a quote, again, not words I personally like to use.
We don't use this type of language.
However, I had to include this. You know you go to Blake High School when every little nigga in that joint is a straight-up bitch nigga. Well, that's just not good.
It's a lot of qualifiers in that sentence.
I've always been told that being a bitch nigga is not a good thing, so...
Straight up.
A straight-up bitch nigga.
I like the next one.
Next two, actually, because they're both related.
Yeah, you know you go to Blake High School when these sluts smash you and your mans. Sorry, let me try that again. When these sluts smash you and yours mans.
Okay.
Next,
when sluts think they're bad. Now, this one has five words in it. Three of them are spelled wrong.
But wouldn't that actually sounds like it would be a good thing, you know, when sluts think they're bad. You know, because, oh, wait, sorry, I forget. Bad means good.
Right.
Right.
Like, bad is in badass. Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah. At Blake, there are only certain kinds of people. Snakes, sluts, bunnies, bitches, bad bitches, unks, weed heads, and faggots. If you are not one of these, you don't go / belong in Blake.
So, I guess, which one did you fit probably under?
I'm probably
you're probably an unk.
What's an unk?
An uncle.
Oh. Are you somebody's uncle?
Yeah.
She's a monkey's uncle.
Every woman is somebody's uncle, right?
Every woman's a monkey's uncle.
I wanted to be a bad bitches, but I guess I'm
next one's my favorite, my personal favorite out of this entire list.
Well, you know you go to Blake High School when Du Bois salty as shit when he can't get someone in trouble. Justin, what does it mean to be salty as shit?
That's why they call him Mr. Peanut. Du Bois is salty as shit.
Yeah, well, you also know you go to Blake High School when you wear leggings down the hallway and all the boys call you clappers.
So, okay, we were both
Yeah, that was awkward when I was at Blake.
Where all the boys were calling you clappers?
Yeah, it was really weird.
So we were both, like, completely...
They didn't let me play kickball.
Flummoxed by that one, so I actually went on Urban Dictionary.
Bro,
and
we found a number of these that brought up the word clappers.
Oh, yeah, because the dictionary.
Yeah. Even, you know you go to Blake High School when your Spanish teacher got them clappas.
Even the Spanish teachers got the clappas.
What's the clappas?
Well, funny you should ask, Tim.
Is it
I
the
went,
clap?
No.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Not much. Okay, so, went on Urban Dictionary, looked up clappas, or clappa, or clappas with a Z.
Or clap ass, or, I think is the way it's supposed to be pronounced.
I have no idea. Basically,
I remember you talking about this.
I'm gonna keep calling the clappas. The clappas is when a woman has a booty so big that when she walks, her butt cheeks actually clap.
I actually saw one of
this
last night.
Can
really?
You believe this? Even the Spanish teacher got them clappas.
True statement. True confession. My Spanish teacher actually did have the clappas.
Yeah. No, I saw a girl last night.
My eighth grade Spanish teacher was like everyone
I'm
was.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be clap ass.
I'm gonna call him the clappas.
We're calling it the clappas from now on.
Everyone was terrified of her because every time she turned around, bam, clappas all up in her face.
It's a disease that's hitting high school really hard right now.
It's an epidemic.
I'm pretty sure that's just morbid obesity, but
morbid clapacity.
Yeah.
Well, the scientific term is clap ass.
Okay.
Right.
Obesity is just a euphemism.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Because no one really knows what that means, like, obese.
Well, we just got a couple more to share. You know you go to Blake High School when at the end of homecoming, all you see on the floor are bras, thongs, and condoms.
That's self-explanatory.
Yeah, this is something that I think happens at every high school, though.
I think that goes along with the pregnancies.
Right, the 16 of them.
Oh, Nancy.
Yeah, then also, you know you go to Blake High School when you see a fag clapping his clappas in the middle of the spiral staircase.
Can you clap your own clappas?
Apparently you can.
That's gotta take some high muscle control.
Actually,
maybe only fags
I may or may not have seen a video on the internet where a girl can clap her own clappas.
Really?
Just send me the link.
Is it an educational video?
Yes. It's for sex ed. It's for sex ed.
I learned something about my body.
If I move backwards and forwards fast enough... Let's go on.
The last one here is my favorite.
Oh, final one.
This was actually posted by a friend of mine. And it was, you know you go to Blake High School when you aren't surprised that most of the people who post on its Facebook group have horrible grammar and can't spell to save their lives.
Oh, that's just an asshole comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a bitch.
What a douchebag.
What an unk.
Yeah, seriously.
What a straight up unk.
Yeah.
Monkey's uncle.
So, there we go. That's my high
school. Wait, that doesn't even have proper grammar in and of itself.
Hold on, does it?
It's. Isn't that the wrong usage of...
Post on... That's right.
That's
not the possessive form of it's.
Oh, no?
It doesn't have an apostrophe.
Yeah,
it's doesn't have an apostrophe in it.
He flubbed it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
We're gonna have to comment.
All right, so obviously I don't need to, like, explain why this is a spectacle of human failure, but could you give us, like, any sort of insight on what the hell is going on here?
I honestly think that, like, I really... want to believe that this is just, like, a small percentage of people in my high school that are just the really, really stupid kind.
Did they just, like, release some sort of agent into the drinking water?
I'm pretty sure that definitely happened because there's a new language.
Maybe these are bright people with arthritis, so they don't type well.
Perhaps.
That's an interesting theory. It doesn't excuse the content.
I mean, I have fairly poor spelling, but I have good grammar.
Or they're clappas.
Or they're just straight-up unks.
I've been knocked before.
All right, well, that is today's spectacle of human failure, and honestly, I don't even know what to say after that.
But Justin, can I just add in a sort of side spectacle of human failure concerning this recent weather we've been having?
Yeah, this is a side attraction of
right.
human failure.
Just, I mean, looking outside, I've been watching people... exhibit
yeah, if,
many
human... If everyone watching or listening would please look out the window and
right,
look at
just...
the nearest neighbor trying to shovel his or her car out.
This entire thing is human failure. There's cars sideways across the parking lot. I see there's a car outside now. They're shoveling it out and in the process putting all the snow back into the road or into another spot or
right.
on top of a car.
Yeah, there's cars going
it's
every which
rude.
Way.
It's...
Places are not... Dude, it's like the H Mart, dude.
Yeah.
It's like the H Mart parking lot.
That was terrible the other day. I wish we hadn't gone there.
This whole thing is
I'm sorry,
pretty
I
much...
I mean,
meant for us to go there.
It's just got human failure written all over it.
Dude, after the last blizzard, I watched a guy shovel out his entire car with a tiny foldable army spade.
That takes dedication.
That's a spectacle of human triumph.
That
was amazing. That guy was far more committed to the act of getting his car out than I've ever been committed to anything in my life. Even this show.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Look who you've got on the side here.
So, with that, thank you, everyone, for joining me. I think this was a lot of fun. Everyone, if you got just one final word to say, say it now.
Pay attention Friday afternoon, Friday 4 to 6. Be the birth of a brand new creation.
I'm talking about the Octodome.
Octodome.
The Octodome is, of course, going to be Tim, mine and Tim's new music show, and it's going to rock your socks off.
All three of them.
Yeah.
Enjoy the upcoming sports event that will probably have happened by the time this is up. Really?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Go Saints.
By the time you're listening to this, you will already know who has won the Super Bowl.
And it will be the Saints.
Should we all go through it and call it?
Saints?
I'm saying Saints, like 41-33.
41-33. I'm gonna say,
Or 41-34.
I'm gonna say Colts, maybe, 31-21?
Is
this like Price is Right?
Yeah, you're next in line.
Okay, I'm going Saints, I'm going, 10-11.
10-11.
10-11. Hmm.
The only one game in football history has ever had that score.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna go...
Three field goals and a safety.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think on these teams. We got, like, the two greatest offenses
in
the world.
If there were indeed 2 foot of snow out there, I might...
I'm gonna
that.
go Saints 29-17.
Well done.
All right.
Am I the only one calling Colts?
Yes.
Yeah, you're the outlier.
All right.
Well, we gotta have someone on the other side.
Well, right, yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, wait, Lena, you didn't get to make your final words.
Oh, I'm just hoping that we don't have school again tomorrow because of the torrential snow outside.
All right, well...
Torrential?
Torrential.
Can snow be torrential?
Yeah. That's a question.
Snow.
That is a question for another day. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt, and we are boldly going nowhere.
I know the more I like.